The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome in to our snowy Tuesday edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Those big old snowflakes falling today. It's not going to have any great accumulation, but it was just, it was pretty snow. It was just kind of odd to look out and see it on the 13th of November. So I don't think it's going to be any major issue for you today, but it is there, and it's obviously chilly, but it is the middle of November, so kind of goes with the territory. Let's tell you about what's coming up on the show today. Ben Roberts will lead us off from the Lexington Herald Leader, does the Next Cats page, so we'll do a little bit of recruiting for both sports in addition to just talking about the Cats in general, football and basketball with Ben. Larry Vaught, always with us on Tuesdays, and former Wildcat running back Anthony White will wrap us up today. That's our guest lineup, always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Let's get to the Wildcat news of the day. It is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Mark Stoops does his news conference and his radio show on the Mondays, and as you would expect, a lot of talk about the offense. Stoops said he's not going to panic. He said on the radio show last night, to win in the SEC, you have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to defend the run. And so he's just got to get them to play with more of an edge, more, I don't know, he didn't use the word intensity, but you could say intensity, when they get back on the field this week against Middle Tennessee. He did stress what they have accomplished to this point, which is certainly a valid point. It's just that the struggles on offense, when you have trouble scoring, it brings, I think, every game into jeopardy. And so this is a team they're playing that's won seven games that has been able to put up some big numbers. Now, they played two SEC teams and only scored seven in each game. So if Kentucky's defense can hold them down, as they did with most opponents this season, then Kentucky should be okay, but you've got to find, to get back on track anyway, you've got to find a way to move the ball. And back in September, Kentucky was doing that with a punishing ground game, and we're not seeing that right now. They're having trouble running the football. Four of the last five games, under 100 yards. Stoops acknowledged yesterday they don't have game changers, a lot of game changers, which means the guys, you could, all kinds of phrases to take the top off the defense, the big play guys. It seems, as we were talking about this yesterday, that you're going to go back to that Texas A&M game where Kentucky tried to do more in the passing game, and I think got exposed that they struggle with that. And until they get better at that, I think teams are going to continue to play them the way that they're playing them, which makes it very difficult for Kentucky to get any of those 10-plus, 20-plus yard run plays that were a big part of their success back in September. They're 50% or under 50% of where they were in September in terms of those kinds of plays. And I have to think it's because teams are crashing downhill and Kentucky is struggling to throw the ball more than in that, you know, 5 to 10 yard window. Anything much further down the field, they just consistently have not been able to do that. So, it's how do you fix that? That's a real hard one to answer because they've got to find somebody to step up and make some plays in the pass game. And guys drop passes on Saturday. You saw some of that. You saw balls that were off target. So it's not anything that's consistent. Sometimes the pass is off target. Sometimes the pass is on target and dropped. Sometimes the guy's open and the protection breaks down, and it just kind of feeds on itself, one mistake after another. Kicker, he did talk about that and said they're going to take a look at Miles, going back to Miles Butler this week. It's not a surprise. Chance Poor's played in three games. They can protect his, they can redshirt him if he only plays in four games. So I think if Kentucky had won at Tennessee, my guess is you'd probably still see Chance kicking. or certainly if they'd won the last two. But the fact that he has struggled in the last couple of games with a miss and a block, I think it's certainly understandable that they would look at going back to Miles and see how it goes. And then they could use Chance in the last game or in the bowl game, not both, but in either or, and be able to protect his red shirt. Speaking of the last game, it's been set for 7 o'clock on November 24th down at Louisville. AP poll came out for basketball. Kentucky's number 10. Not surprised at a pretty significant drop for the Wildcats off their performance against Duke. Last night in college basketball, future Kentucky opponent North Carolina handled Stanford 90-72. Team Kentucky just played. Southern Illinois lost to Buffalo 62-53. Southern Illinois was without one of its starters, however. And let's see. Kansas won big over Vermont 84-68. Those were games among the top 25. Men's soccer, Kentucky's the number 3 overall seed. Fantastic season for Coach Johan Zittergren and his guys. And they're going to play Sunday at the Bell over on the UK campus against the winner of UCLA and Portland. Game will be at 4 o'clock. Match will be at 4 o'clock. And tickets are already on sale for that. And the Tennessean is reporting that the SEC tournament is going to stay in Nashville through 2035. The new deal or a contract's been extended. Look for the formal announcement today, according to this report. The only year that it's not going to be in Nashville, and this was already scheduled, is in 2022. I think it's going to be in Tampa that year, but I think otherwise it's going to be in Nashville on a regular basis. Links to the stories that we talk about on the Bud Light Leach Report page. You can find it at TomLeachKY.com. Heading to a break, and we'll be right back with Ben Roberts on the Leach Report.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Back into our Tuesday show. Ben Roberts joins us on the Kentucky branded hotline here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Ben from the Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com, and he does the Next Cats recruiting page. We'll get to some recruiting in a moment, but Ben, we'll start on the football side for Kentucky, and if they can finish with two wins, and they do that, they'll most likely be in a New Year's Day bowl game in Florida. That would be still an outstanding year. Now, how much concern should there be about being able to do that?
Well, after the last couple weeks, offensively especially, I think there should be a little concern. But obviously they're playing against, Georgia's the best team they're going to play, and Tennessee has the talent there. It just hasn't, come up and proved its first season, really until Saturday. Middle Tennessee, they're favored by a couple touchdowns. Louisville, I think we've all been following what's been going on over there all season and especially the past few days. So, obviously if they can't beat one of those teams, they don't deserve to play in a January 1st bowl, but I would have to imagine they come out and win both of those, and it sounds like a little extra fire has been lit under them coming out of Saturday's loss. So, yeah, I mean, as long as they win those two, they're 9-3, 5-3 in the SEC. I mean, by Kentucky standards, that's an unbelievable season with some big wins that I think people are starting to forget about a little, given the most recent struggles. As a whole, I think it's going to look like a great season. As you said, maybe a Citrus Outback Bowl berth, and that'd be a great end to it for them.
Yeah, you mentioned Louisville, and it's going to be interesting to see how their guys perform this week against a good NC State team, because it looked like they had thrown in the towel, but we'll see if that changes with the coaching change.
Yeah, I mean, and you see that sometimes from guys. They've, they've quit on a current coach, but that's sometimes what happens. And obviously, their results the last few weeks, really all season, have not been good. And I'm sure there was some of that going on. Obviously, a kid like Russ East, we saw, reports that he had left the team, and now he's back on the team now that Petrino's gone. So, when they make a coaching change like that, when anybody does, there usually is I feel like, you know, in that room, a little lessening of tension and people loosen up a little bit more and maybe play a little bit better. So, yeah, I mean, and as you said, NC State, another team that's had a really good season, won't be an easy game by any stretch. I think, you know, they'll be, I haven't looked at the line, I'm sure they're a pretty big favorite at that one. So, yeah, I think that might be a good, you know, a good indicator of how they come out against Kentucky a week later.
I think the dominant topic of conversation is the Kentucky offense with the extended period of struggles that they have. What's your take on what you're seeing?
You know, it's hard to watch. It's hard to tell exactly what's going on other than they just don't have much of a rhythm. We've seen, you know, a couple games ago when they were playing a little bit more up-tempo, it looked like Terry was a little bit more comfortable. They were moving the ball some. But there's also mistakes when they play that way. You know, there's turnovers, which Stoops obviously doesn't want. They just haven't been on the same page, it seems like, all season. And, you know, it's hard to think that they're going to get on that page, at least in the next two games. I mean, when you have a month of bowl practices to practice for one team and to maybe insert one game plan, I think you might see him come out a little bit better in a bowl game, but, you know, Middle Tennessee and Louisville, they're still the same team they've been over the past few weeks. Now, especially Louisville, we've seen their defense, so, you know, what's been going on there, so maybe they need to play somebody like that to get going on the right track again, but it's hard to see that fixing itself over the next couple weeks.
Shift to basketball, and the win, Cal used a phrase talking to his team about stopping the bleeding. Do you think the win over Southern Illinois stopped the bleeding for the Wildcats?
We'll see tomorrow night. I think certainly the way they played for that 12, 14-minute stretch in the second half, I think that's the team that we thought we were going to see, and especially those of us who followed these freshmen, thought they were going to see, you know, coming right out of the gate. I think the way the Duke game started with just that punch in the face, nobody saw that coming, and I don't think Kentucky's players saw that coming. And just from talking to some people who knew these guys pretty well, the next day, you know, later that week, I think everybody was expecting them to punch back at some point, and they just never did, and it just got worse and worse. And you know, they just look shell-shocked for the rest of that game. And then, I don't know that you can expect them to come out and blow the doors off a Southern Illinois team coming out of that. So, you know, now they've had a few extra days to get over the Duke thing, a few extra days of practice. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. But, you know, again, we're still not really sure what this team is yet. How the pieces fit together. Calipari talked about it all preseason that he wasn't quite sure how everybody was going to fit together. And obviously that's true because we've all seen it over two games. So I don't think this is a situation where, you know, they come out and win by 30 points Wednesday night. I think it's going to take time. There's going to be some more growing pains like we've seen with pretty much all of Calipari's teams. But I still think by March, this has got to be one of the best teams in the country and a clear candidate to win the title.
Ben Roberts with us from the Herald Leader, where he also does the Next Cats recruiting page. So let's shift to that. And Jaden McDaniels visited last weekend. Heard anything about how that went?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it went well. You know, all these official visits, for the most part, you hear they went well. Jaden's family and Jaden himself, they've been about as quiet as any high-profile recruit in this class, and this has been a pretty quiet class when it comes to feedback off visits and which way they're leaning and everything. But going into it, I was told Kentucky was probably in the top three with him. I haven't heard anything to make me think otherwise now. You know, it's a little different case with him because he's a West Coast kid from Seattle. Calipari's pulled some of those in his 10 years here, but it is a little harder to get those guys off the West Coast, and Kentucky's the only team east of Texas on his list. So they're the clear outlier, clearly a different choice on his list. But, was told he liked the visit. likes Calipari. Calipari's been up there to see him a couple times in the past 6 weeks or so. So definitely still think they have a chance, and I expect him probably to visit UCLA this weekend, and he'll be done with his official visits after that.
And to football, they got a commitment from a big receiver out of the JUCO ranks who'd actually started out here, Javonte Richardson. Seems to be a good and very necessary get.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get an offensive playmaker, from what we've seen this season, that is a good addition for this offense. We'll see going forward how he fits in. You know, he was actually a guy who obviously committed to Kentucky a couple years ago and was actually on the team last year as a redshirt. And when he came in, I remember talking to Bill Green, the Ohio expert over at 24/7 Sports, and Bill will usually let you know if he thinks the player is overranked or overrated or isn't going to fit in somewhere. And he straight up told me he thought Javonte could be a NFL wide receiver if everything came together for him. He just has all the tools physically. It's all there. It just needs to come out of him. And obviously he had some hiccups here his first time, ended up going the JUCO route. And by all accounts, they like where he's at right now and want to bring him, obviously want to bring him back because they took his commitment and think he could be a big major player going forward. So yeah, I mean, anytime you get a 6'4" receiver with the type of, measurements that he has and the type of physical tools he has, that's going to be good for your offense if you can get him the ball.
And he'll have 3 years, right?
Yes. Yeah. Three years of eligibility. Yep.
Ben, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Well, it's Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com. Coming up on 26 after the top of the hour, it's the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, and we'll be right back.
Find out more about the Voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Welcome back into the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. About a minute and change before the bottom of the hour break, so we will hang on to Larry Vaught and bring him in to lead off the second half of the show. We get to a couple of questions that came in, both around the same topic, from Patricia. Do you ever ask Coach if there's a reason for running Benny every first down? Even the bag boy at the grocery store knows what's coming. Does he realize they're analyzing our plays like we do theirs? Millions are being spent. Maybe they could fly in John Elway to help. And Rick, who's made some good points last week in the Tennessee game in a couple of emails, he said, you have to give the Tennessee offensive coordinator credit for doing something that Kentucky doesn't. He utilized the pass on first down to set up the run, kept Kentucky's defense off balance. I went back and looked at the first half of the game at Tennessee. Kentucky had 12 first down plays. They ran it on 5, only 3 with Benny Snell, and they passed it on 7. So they passed on 7 of the 12 plays, and on the 5 that they ran, 60% of them went to their best player, Benny Snell. So I understand the frustration, but you got to get honed in on the right topics. We are halfway home on the Leach Report. We'll be right back.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Larry Vaught joins us on the Kentucky Brandon Hotline as we roll into the second half of the Leach Report. And you can read him at vaughtsviews.com and lex18.com. Start with a little basketball, Larry, because recently you had a post with our buddy Mike Pratt where he was talking about something he's talked about on the show here, how important he thinks Nick Richards could be to this season. And Cal was talking about that after the game the other night, especially in the context of how important it is for a team to be able to have a shot blocker, and that Nick's the guy who most likely could fill that role for this team. And so I thought about your story when I was listening to Cal say that.
Yeah, you didn't think about it after the Duke game, did you?
No, I didn't.
And that's what I'm sitting there wondering. I think, okay, I know Pratt knows more basketball than I've ever would think of knowing, but he was so high on what he thought Nick could do than watch the Duke game. I thought, my gosh, maybe Mike doesn't know any more basketball than I know. But then when you watch Nick against Southern Illinois, I think that's the guy that Mike had been seeing when he had a chance to see practice, and the guy that he knew that Calipari needed. And it was, and hopefully that first game was just kind of a blip, and Nick got things going now, because like you say, I think he showed against Southern Illinois what he can do and how important he can be. I don't think you can expect him to rebound quite like that every game, but if he can just get his boards, block some shots, and then just occasionally provide you with a little offense, I mean, he helps them a lot that way.
Yeah, absolutely does. I'm going to have Kevin Grevy on the show tomorrow, because you go back to this game I'm going to be referencing, is that Indiana game up in 74 against in Bloomington. And that's one of the games that came to mind when I was watching the Duke game unfold, as how just dominating Indiana was against that Kentucky team. It was a different era. It was a more experienced Kentucky team, but it was a much more experienced Indiana team, too. So that's kind of relative. And that team came back and ended up beating that Indiana team later that year. And I want to talk to Kevin about just, you know, how you deal with coming back from something like that, because, you know, it wasn't an instant bounce back for them. And, you know, I don't think it will be for this team either. That's a little bit, it's quite demoralizing to beat the way that they did. So I think it'll take a while for them to kind of find their way.
I agree, Tom. And that was such a different time, because back then, after they beat Indiana in the NCAA tournament, if you remember, they rode a bus home, and Kentucky fans were all up and down the interstate cheering
right.
for them all the way back home. So I don't think Cal's team will be on any bus anytime soon, but they could learn some lessons from that. And again, I think Kentucky's a lot better than it played that night. I don't know that Duke is quite as good as it played that night, even though Duke is really good, but it's a long time, hopefully till the end of March, when you might see Duke again, and Kentucky just has to quit worrying about Duke and worry about Kentucky for a while, and get do things like getting Tyler making shots and get PJ back playing the way that he did and settle in at point guard. And they've got a lot of things to work on just himself, without worrying about what anybody else is doing.
Two games this week, I don't think those teams are probably are as good as the Southern Illinois team they just faced. So I think the challenges will ramp back up, which is probably a good thing. I think they probably need to get some confidence built, right?
I would think so. And they can use it to experiment. I mean, they need to get Ashton Hagans going. And I think it was kind of interesting after the last game when Emmanuel quickly kind of admitted that chemistry didn't develop quite as quick as maybe they thought it was. I mean, I don't know, maybe they kind of got a false sense of security down in the Bahamas when everything seemed to come so easy to them. And you can understand that. I mean, why wouldn't they? Because everybody told them how hard the game in the Bahamas were going to be, and they didn't turn out too hard. So why would you think it's going to be any different for the season? So I think maybe they have learned some quick, hard lessons, which hopefully will benefit them going forward.
Let's talk about another story that's up at, this one's at LAX18.com, and you caught up with Tony Franklin, who is the offensive coordinator for the Middle Tennessee team that comes in here on Saturday, and it's a nice read about, in particular, his connection to John Schlarman.
Yeah, him and John are really, really close, and of course, Tony had hired Neil Brown, John Schlarman, and Chad Scott all to work for him at one time, and all ended up coaching at Kentucky, and Tony was at Kentucky, but John and Tony are especially close, as Tony talked about when they were at Troy, that Tony's daughter babysat John's kids, and how close Tony's wife and John's wife are. And I know Tony's been really concerned and reached out and talked to John a lot this year as John's going through his battle with cancer and continuing to coach. So the two of them are really, really good buddies, and it was kind of nice to catch up with Tony. And of course, Tony's also very fond of guys like Dusty Bonner and Anthony White, and of course, obviously, Neil Brown. He keeps up with him. And I think it's really important for Tony to get a chance to come back and coach Saturday. He's very appreciative of the opportunity, and as he said, he's never given up being a Kentucky fan. And I think he's been pretty impressed with what Kentucky has done this year, as he talked about, you know, having that monster at running back, and he's big Benny Snell fan.
Yeah, he actually, I mean, for all the criticism and understandable that the offense is getting, Tony had some nice things to say about what the plan is that they're trying to execute this season.
Well, I think Tony understands personnel, And he also understands you do, you kind of adapt to the head coach's philosophy, and the idea is to win games, whether it's 14-7 or 44-37, that you can win different ways. And I think Tony appreciates the way that Kentucky is winning, and hopefully the way that Kentucky's going to get back to winning and finish this season 9-3. And it's still kind of strange that you could think that Kentucky could finish 9-3 and you could be disappointed, but I guess that's a good thing that you had a chance to have what so many people saw as such a special season. But it's just hard for me to think of being 9-3 and being disappointed.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. We're talking with Larry Vaught. Joins us on Tuesdays here on the Leach Report. You can read him at VaughtsViews.com and also LEX18.com. Kentucky threw in a clunker, whatever term you want to put on it, down at Tennessee on Saturday. Did you, given the where that game was on the schedule, like Mark Story wrote last week, he called it the trappiest of trap games, did you fear anything like that might be coming?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a really... Well, when the season started, let me put it this way, I didn't see it that way. But as the season unfolded and you saw what was going to be at stake in that Georgia game, I thought whether Kentucky won or lost that Georgia game, that maybe the biggest mental test of the season for Kentucky was going to be to play at Tennessee and try to get back over that. And obviously they didn't pass that test very well at all. I mean, you could tell just almost immediately it didn't look to me like their minds were right in that game, either on offense or defense. It's been hard to criticize the defense because they have been so, so good this year. But that defense, especially at giving up the big plays, was just not the same defense that we have seen the rest of the season. So hopefully put that behind them, win these next two, still get in a nice bowl game, win that, and finish up 10-3, and I think anybody would be delighted or should be delighted with that season, and hopefully a lot of people will turn out to send these seniors off Saturday in a nice way.
Yeah, I hope there is a nice crowd for the seniors for their last home game. And I think in the moment, I understand the frustration, but I think if the scenario plays out the way you just, that picture you just painted, I think the season would be looked at very favorably. You'd think, you know, much like the 1-07 we were talking with Jacob yesterday, where they got a little beat up, lost a couple of games. I know they think they should have won. It could have had an even better season. But when they came back for their reunion, there was a lot of good feeling about, you know, big win over LSU and winning a second straight bowl game. And if you win out, you'll be ranked for the first time since 84. Finish a season ranked. That would be a nice accomplishment.
It sure would be. And if you win out, you'll finish a season where you only lost one game that you felt like or were expected to win, but you're going to win several games that you were expected to lose. So that's a pretty right. good trade-off. And by the way, congratulations, Tom, on winning the Tom Hammond Award. Very well deserved.
Thank you very much. Very nice of you. You've won the award yourself, so I'm in good company.
Well, you're at the head of that company, and it's a very prestigious award. I know you'll kind of downplay because you're a humble guy, but nobody that's won that award's been more deserving than you, I'll tell you that.
Well, thank you very much. And I know you would agree with me on this. Any award that's got Tom Hammond's name on it that you get is real special.
Absolutely. Couldn't be more special in this event. It's really turned into a special night, and you're going to be there with some star power. But you certainly belong there, and I'm really, really glad that you won the award this year because you should have got it before.
Thank you very much. Larry Vaught, we'll let you go. We'll talk to you next week. Your buddy Anthony White's going to come up next here on the Leach Report. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Locations in Hamburg, where we were yesterday for the Monday Morning Quarterback Show, and in Palomar, where we will be next week. Kentucky owned and operated. They make everything from scratch at Wild Eggs. Love the omelets. So give those a try next time you're out there at Wild Eggs or the Zach's I Am Breakfast. Try that too at Wild Eggs of Lexington. We'll be right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
12 minutes away from the top of the hour, it's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. We are efforting Anthony White at the moment, trying to catch up to him, so hopefully we'll connect here in a moment or two. Giving you a chance to get our Dodato's slice of Wildcat history in, and it was this day in 2009 that the John Calipari era officially got underway. As Kentucky defeated Morehead State 75-59. Big game for Patrick Patterson, had 20 points in the Kentucky victory. We'll get our buddy Brett Dawson back on here before too long to talk about how Patrick's doing and other Wildcats in the NBA these days. I saw Karl-Anthony Townsend, they got a big game last night, over 20 points and 20 boards for the Timberwolves. So hopefully now that they've made that trade to send Jimmy Butler to Philadelphia, they'll get everybody on the same page there with Carl's team in Minnesota. Anthony White joins us now, former Kentucky running back, and here in the Lexington market. You hear him as part of the Sunday morning crew on our flagship station here in Lexington with the Sunday morning show. Anthony, talk about the performance down for your alma mater down at Tennessee on Saturday. As a former player, could you understand how teams would be flat, not bring their A game, whatever you want to say, after a game that was as emotional as the Georgia game?
I think that's part of the change of culture here, that we haven't been to this height before, and so I think that's something that the preparation, the mental preparation that Georgia and Alabama, physical mental preparation they go through on a weekly basis, is something that their culture is adjusted to at this point. I think it's kind of a learning curve. I don't like the fact that, you know, you had this opportunity and you squandered it against, not so much squandered it, I think we just beat by a better team that day, but to come out against Tennessee and not have the energy to, or come out so flat, I think it was that we exerted so much energy trying to beat Georgia and to come out on the bottom. I don't think we were able to get back up for that game again because of the letdown.
And that's something that if you, well, obviously they aspire to take their program to higher levels and be playing in meaningful games like that Georgia one on a more regular basis. And if you're going to do that, you're not going to win them all, so you have to be able to deal with those setbacks in a better fashion than they did at Tennessee, right?
Right. And like I said, I think that's something that happens over time. Every era we watched before Brooks sustained winning, you know, he had to take some lumps. You had a good season, but then you had some letdowns in the season. And each year you got to get stronger and stronger and know what it takes. And I think this team was on such a high. And I think maybe some of the media, national media hype may have played a piece in it because, you know, when someone tells you you're good, and even in the case of Benny Snell, who's a guy who works hard and gives you 100% every time, when someone tells you you're good, there's a piece of you that says, hey, you know what, I'm being noticed, and it makes you feel comfortable. But if everybody keeps telling you you're not good enough, you're too slow, you're not strong enough, you guys shouldn't be here, then you work like heck to prove it all the time. So I think that's also played a small part in it.
Kind of how a player or a team loses that edge that coaches talk about?
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people, if you see Nick Saban, always tries to bring up something to stir his team up to make them upset to play. But, you know, I think they prepare for winning every week, and they're accustomed to it. I think that's something that Kentucky is going to get to that level. That's something I think they'll have to adjust and come around to.
You played in an offense that put up a lot of points, never had a whole lot of trouble moving the football. This offense is struggling right now. As I look at it, I look back to the A&M game, and the best thing I can come up with is that they went into that game thinking A&M was so good defensively they would try to attack them in the passing game, and they couldn't find any success in doing that, and so got exposed a little bit that they had some issues in the pass game, and teams have seized on that, and they haven't ever been able to successfully punch back against that. What about that for a theory?
I'm curious to see what's going to happen in these last two games, because it is obvious last week, and I've always been a big proponent of, you know, get the ball in Benny Snell's hands, and because I felt like he was our best chance for success. But I think people are keying and focusing defenses on just stopping Benny. So for us to concentrate on giving Benny the ball while the defenses are concentrating on him, I think that may not always play out in our favor. So and Benny, like I said, he's a good player. So I think there's something we need to go to is more play action to they have to guess if Benny's going to have the ball or not. And I think that Terry's a little more comfortable with play action, because once you get the defense to draw up, you get a better view of players being open. And I think we can get work on it, but I just think the offense has been Benny's base so much that we may not get the reps throughout practice to get the offense comfortable, because they haven't, the passing game has not looked comfortable maybe since the Florida game.
Yeah.
And so I think, and I just know from being in the past happy offense, we got really good at it by repetition, working on it. So with your eyes closed, my quarterback knew where to expect me at, and I knew when it went to expect the ball, and that just came from repetition.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, same play hundreds of, not thousands of times, right?
Right, absolutely.
On the defensive side, do you think the loss of Darius West in the first half impacted Kentucky more significantly than maybe we thought it would in terms of those plays Tennessee hit?
I absolutely think Darius West was a big loss. Last year, I was hard on him a little bit. I thought he was a liability in some instances. But this year, he's played lights out. He's been dependable. He's the guy back there, man, in the defense. If anything goes wrong, he can help cover a hole in the defense. He can help save a play that could possibly be a big play. And I think the defense was accustomed to having him back there as that safety valve to help you out. And it showed early. It showed early. There was a lot of holes and gaps in the defense. It seemed like we were running behind some players a few times in the passing game. And, I mean, just coming downhill and making the stops when they needed to be made, I think that was something that was rough. And after coming off the Georgia game and the way Tennessee came out hungry and wanting to show that they can beat Kentucky and didn't want the streak to end, I think it kind of overwhelmed us a little bit, like, well, we're trying to fight back, but Tennessee's fighting back harder. And, it's kind of in the back of your mind, oh, we did this last week, and I don't think anything was going wrong. But I think having a guy like Darius out there could have prevented a lot of the bleeding we had in the first half. So I absolutely think he was a big reason that Tennessee got off to such a good start against our defense.
Unfortunately, Anthony, about out of time, so I got to let you go. But it's some good insights. Thank you, as always.
All right, I appreciate it.
It's at @A.White on Twitter, and you hear him Sunday mornings here on our flagship station in Lexington on the Sunday morning show on WLAP. Good stuff from Anthony White. Going to get to a break. We'll be right back to wrap it up. What he said about Darius West, very good point. His recognition has been so sharp this year, reacting quickly, coming downhill. And I think you just can't replace that experience. Be right back to wrap it up. We are done for this Tuesday edition of the Leach Report. Tomorrow, Kevin Grevey will join us. We'll talk about that bouncing back from that Indiana loss in December of 74 that I mentioned earlier. Chris Fisher as well. So make sure you join us tomorrow. John Hale, too, talking about Kentucky football and basketball. All right here on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to leachreport@